Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now. Subscribe to the Hit That Line podcast network.
This podcast is powered by the pros at Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric. Arkansas owned, Arkansas operated. GoPascal.com.
Don't skip us just yet. Good morning, everyone. This is Coffee with Council. I'm Brad Hull. I'm here with Kevin Hickey today.
And good morning.
Those who accidentally stumble on our voices listening to Hit That Line, and I have a suspicion a lot of them skip pretty quick, you may want to listen to this one. We're going to be talking about Scottie Scheffler today. Very, very big news in the sports world, and we always like stories that overlap sports and legal issues, and boy, does this one do that. So for those that don't know, as we're recording this, it was this morning, but Scottie Scheffler on his way to the golf course for second round of PGA Championship ends up getting arrested and gets out, gets arrested, booked, released, and is back out playing. And hopefully by the time folks hear this, he will have maybe won, because that would really crank this story up, I think. But the circumstances surrounding it, I am going to address them a little bit just so that I don't seem too inconsiderate. Basically, the way I understand it, there was an accident with a pedestrian getting hit with a bus. Unfortunately, that pedestrian passed away. So a really serious accident. And it was dark, it was raining. They were trying to redirect traffic into certain places. And Scottie Scheffler pulls up, and there's just a massive miscommunication about who he is, where he needs to be going. And he ends up trying to go past an officer, potentially against that officer's advice or request. Officer gets drugged by the vehicle a little bit. And then Scottie Scheffler ends up getting arrested, charged with several things, which we'll go through here in just a minute. But that's the condensed version of the facts there. And now we've all got to see Scottie Scheffler's mugshot on the same day that he's playing second round of the PGA. And anybody who doesn't know this, but I expect most will, but Scottie Scheffler, I should note also, is the number one golfer in the world right now. He's on a absolute tear, and he's on pace to become a historically good golfer if he keeps on doing what he's been doing. So with that said, let's talk about what he got charged with. Kevin, I don't think you've had a chance to read the police report yet, so I'm gonna pop quiz you. What do you think? What would be your guess of the charge that led to Scottie Scheffler getting arrested under those facts?
Well, assault would probably have to be one of them.
That's right. Assault, second degree.
Something along the lines of, and this is defined differently and called differently in every state, but something along the lines of not following the directions of an officer or something like that. That might be disorderly conduct of some kind or something like that.
Yeah, so I think there's kind of two charges related to that. He's got disregarding signals from an officer, and then he has a criminal mischief charge, third degree. I think they're both sort of based on the same idea there. And he also got a reckless driving charge. So these are interesting criminal charges for us, because even though it's in Kentucky, we pretty much have some of the same statutes on the books here in Arkansas, which makes it a little easier to talk about. So we can start with the big one, assault in the second degree. I pulled up the statute from Kentucky just to be sure. And assault in the second degree has three potential fact bases. One is intentionally causing serious physical injury to another person. The other, intentionally cause physical injury to another person by means of a deadly weapon or dangerous instrument. And the third option there is wantonly causes serious injury, physical injury to another person by means of a deadly weapon or dangerous instrument. And that is actually a Class C felony. So that's the big one he has to worry about there. And you look at those options and you can see that I don't think he caused serious physical injury to anyone, including this officer. From what I've seen, the police report even only says like some swelling and bumps. But I'm assuming this charge is going to be based on means of a dangerous instrument, which would be his vehicle.
Probably. And this is probably a good time to talk about, as far as criminal law, there's always two aspects to it. There's the mens rea, which is state of mind. And then there's, I think it's actus reus is the Latin. It's the act. So you don't just have the physical part of him actually making contact with the officer. You got to know his mental state too. And that's where those first words you talked about come in, intentionally or wantonly. I think that would be difficult to prove. I don't think he was intending to. I mean, when does this usually come up? It's a bar fight, or it's two guys that are out fighting each other, or it's something, you know, someone intentionally tries to harm someone else. And I think they're going to have a hard time with that. I want to talk a little bit about this whole setting too. These things, these sporting events, this kind of thing, not where someone actually gets injured, but where there's, you wonder if there was an identity issue here, if this officer really didn't know who he was. And people will say, well, wait a minute, of course he's the number one golfer in the world. He knew who he was. This happens fairly often. You'll hear these stories about how some famous person showed up for their sporting event, the NBA finals, whatever, and they're trying to get in and they forgot whatever credentials they were supposed to bring. And the person, whoever it is that's monitoring that back area of the arena or the golf course or wherever it is, they don't recognize them. And they're given strict instructions not to let people back there. So you wonder how much, I mean, it sounds almost like the golfer was kind of gave it like, I'm going to go on around you because I need to get in here so I can play. And the officer maybe didn't know who he was, and so obviously tried to stop him. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, I mean, that's what the reporter who was there has pretty much said. That seems to be what happened, that they did not recognize who he was. And I don't know if you've had a chance to see. I know you've been working all day.
Yeah, I work on Fridays, Brad.
So. but the video that he took, it does seem like they did not know who he was. It was kind of weird because a lot of people are saying, like, why didn't he say who he was? Why didn't the reporter say who he was? So even if Scotty was too humble to say, do you know who I am? Even though this is the classic example, probably when you should play that card, the reporter kept saying, guys, what are you doing? Guys, what are you doing? And he never said on this video, guys, what are you doing? That's the number one golfer in the world you've got.
he's going where he's supposed to be going. Yeah.
Keep talking. You're almost there. Would it have made a difference? I really don't know. I mean, it clearly escalated a little bit, but, I agree with you that that's probably a reason that this turned into what it was. And again, the setting of it is dark, rainy, tragic event going on. Everybody's maybe a little on edge. And then you have a golfer coming through who probably doesn't know hardly anything about what's going on up there. So he's probably being far more casual about it. And very easy to see how signals could get mixed up there. And this could happen. The thing that I keep thinking about is I can understand how all that happens. It seems like before they arrest and before they go to the point of mugshot and booking and everything, Scotty Scheffler, somebody might have along the way been like, do we really want to do this? We really want this PR that's about to happen over what occurred? And I do wonder, just, you know, the personality of this cop involved and things like that. I'll try not to be rushed to judgment too much on it and say things I shouldn't, but.
Well, the prosecutors always control who they charge, and they also control whether they dismiss charges or not. But one of the things they almost always do is check in with the victim of the crime to see what their thoughts are. And so I think it goes to kind of what you just said. It's going to be interesting to see what this officer does. If he, once this, all the dust settles, goes to the prosecutor and says, look, let's don't pursue this. This is just going to be a circus. Then I could see them dropping it. But if he's, you know, bugged enough about it, I don't know what'll happen.
BetOnline is your number one source for all summer sports, from Major League Baseball, golf, to the NBA and NHL playoff stats. They've got all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Well, and I want to go back to what you were talking about the mental requirements for these crimes. And I actually pulled it up. They have it defined wantonly and intentionally. And intentionally means that a person acts intentionally with respect to the result or to the conduct described by statute. I really don't see that applying to him, because I don't think there's any evidence that he intended to harm this officer by driving forward the way he did. The other one that he could be charged under was wantonly. And that one maybe is a little bit more feasible. Person acts wantonly with respect to result or circumstance described by statute when he is aware of and consciously disregards a substantial and unjustifiable risk that the result will occur or that the circumstance exists. But it goes on to say that the risk has to be of such a nature and degree that the disregard is a gross deviation from the standard of conduct that a reasonable person would observe in that situation. So I think he probably could argue on that one as well, as far as, is that a gross deviation? Probably not in the circumstances. I expect he's got a pretty good argument on that to avoid the mens rea element.
And what you normally hear as far as wantonly, or another word that people may be more familiar with, is reckless. I think that's more, recklessness is what you will normally see. Reckless and wantonly are kind of interchangeable.
Yeah. And this is a serious one, though, because it's a Class C felony, which in Kentucky, that means conviction does carry a prison term of 5 to 10 years. Fines $1,000, $10,000. I don't foresee him going to prison or being in any real threat of that, but it is a felony, and that's a very serious one. The rest of these are not felonies. They're not as big of a deal, could easily be taken care of, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe part of what gets worked out is a plea deal where it's not just totally dropped, but maybe he does plea to some of these misdemeanor charges or something. We'll see. How principled Scotty wants to be about it, maybe.
So was this recorded on videoed or anything?
Well, that's one of the things I've been curious about. It's one of the questions I was going to kind of bring up. We're still learning stuff, and hopefully, you know, maybe by the time this comes out and people are listening to it, my point here will be moot. I don't know if they had body cams or dash cams or anything that picked it up. Video footage that has come out had just been after he was getting arrested. So we don't see the initial interaction or anything like that.
Because it's going to make a difference to me, and I think it's a big fact. I mean, did he pull him 5 feet down the road, or was it 50 feet down the road? I mean,
yeah,
he knows the guy's there and has grabbed onto his vehicle. What's he do after that point? Does he say, oh, wait, and stops, or does he go on like he doesn't care? I mean, to me, that makes a difference.
Yeah, and kind of interesting. When I read through the police report, it doesn't really say. It says it drug him to the ground. So I wonder if it. I take that to mean maybe it just drug him down, and then I don't know how far Scotty drove after that, but I think he fell somewhat instantly there and wasn't just getting drug however far Scotty went. I don't know though, if it's a stop and go type of thing.
That makes a big difference to me. I mean, if he was going to go around the guy and then the guy kind of steps and grabs his car as he's driving and it hits him and knocks him down, I mean, it's hard to fault the driver there if he didn't know that's what was going on. But
yeah. And just quickly, these other offenses are somewhat self-explanatory, but you've got failure to comply with a traffic officer's signal. And so it's worth noting that, like many states, Kentucky does have a statute that specifically talks about knowingly or wantonly disregarding signals being a criminal offense. And that would be a traffic offense. Then you have operating a vehicle in a reckless manner, the reckless driving statute. Almost all states are going to have something like this. I expect they all do. And these statutes can be frustrating if you get charged under one, even though it's just a traffic citation and you may not have a lot at stake. They're so broad. And you read this one, you have to operate a vehicle in a careful manner with regard for the safety and convenience of pedestrians and other vehicles on the highway. What's a careful manner? What is proper regard for safety and convenience? You know, I think everybody who's driven very much in their life has curb checked or missed a stop sign at some point or something. You know, all of those things could probably be reckless disregard in or reckless driving in the right circumstances. So they can be tough to beat because it's such a broad statute. Then you get to the criminal mischief one. And this is one that I think is a little more confusing because criminal mischief, what does that mean? It can mean a lot of things. For Scotty's purposes, it looks like we're looking at they're charging this under Section 1A of the statute, which says damages property of less than $500 or that would be it. Sorry. That would be the section it would have to be under. So there's a couple elements about damaging property, another person or their property. I really don't think there was any property damage here for the criminal mischief element, except to the officers. And they specifically put in the report, his pants of $80. Which, I mean, again, that's the thing about this that's really got me today. If you're going to arrest him and you're upset about him not following instructions, it's one thing. But, man, you gotta know the PR is coming. You really should be thinking about what you're going to put in that report and what you're going to charge him with. And adding a criminal mischief charge, if they truly are just basing that on $80 damage to the officer's pants, is really a bold double down, in my opinion, because you know that's going to get mocked, and it did. And I've already seen people saying, did I read this correctly, that the officer pooped his pants? So, I mean, you're just teeing it up for the Twitter trolls when you add something like that in there. So now you look at criminal process and where it goes from here. He's booked. He's arrested, he's booked, he got a mugshot, he's released. Tell us about the process from there. I'll let you take it.
Well, he's released, and you know, some people have been commenting about in a negative way about how fast he got out, but I'm not, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, something like that, they're going to place a bond amount on him pretty quickly, and if he pays that, he can get out. That's just like anybody else. I don't think there was any special treatment there. But it said his arraignment's on Tuesday, so he'll have to come back for that unless they have a procedure where they can notify the court of what his plea is and waive arraignment. On something like this, especially with one of the charges being a felony, they may require him to be there. So he may have to come back to Louisville or stay in Louisville until Tuesday. He'll enter his plea, which I'm sure will be not guilty. And then throughout the rest of next week, we'll see what the prosecutor does. I think they're going to have a serious discussion if this is something they're really going to pursue full bore, or do they want to plead him to some kind of small misdemeanor like criminal mischief or something like that. And I think we'll know a lot more by the end of next week where this is going to be headed. But ultimately, it could go to trial. I mean, if Scotty wants to fight that, I mean, he could go all the way to trial with it.
Well, the arraignment, you know, most of the time, well, I shouldn't say most of the time, a lot of the times we are able to waive arraignment. We file an entry and we put the court on notice that our client's pleading not guilty, and they waive the right to be read the formal charges against them, which is the purpose of the arraignment. But when you have charges like an assault or battery or worse, where there's physical harm, the courts are more apt to require appearance at arraignment, because a lot of times the bond conditions have certain stipulations and limiting contact with certain individuals and things of that nature. And the courts in those cases are more inclined, although I still don't think it's necessarily common, at least not here, but they're more inclined to require an appearance so that they can tell that defendant, these are the stipulations, I want to make sure you understand them as we go forward. And then they release you out on your bond that you've already posted.
Yeah. Part of the bond conditions would be a no contact with this officer.
I would expect that.
Which is essentially like a restraining order. So once you get to that level of something, you wonder what the PGA rules are on that. And do they have any kind of automatic suspensions or fines or something like that? I mean, the PGA is going to have to review this. They've had a member get charged with not just a misdemeanor, but a felony. And it's an assault of some kind, which is on another person. So they're going to have to review that.
So it's not a great day to be working with PGA, I would think, because they've got this incident. You know, we're not even really talking about this fact that a person was struck by a vehicle and died at the golf course there. And had this not happened with Scotty, that would have been a fairly big story throughout the morning. I don't think it would have had, unfortunately, in our news cycle, I don't think it would have had legs to carry on all day, but there would have been a lot of talk about that. And there's definitely potential liability there for the PGA and things that they may have to be worried about. And then now you got to deal with this issue of, you know, do we need to immediately speak out on our number one player, the guy who's keeping us kind of in the forefront with all the LIV and PGA division going on? Do we say anything until there's more investigation? Because you definitely don't want to come out in his support or in support of him and then find out actually Scotty was at fault. He just, you know.
Yeah. Well, the higher ups in the PGA, that's their discussion today. Do we make an announcement today or some kind of statement, or do we come out and say, this is a serious issue. We understand, you know, the officer was taken to the ground, whatever. We're going to look at this and investigate, and we'll say something next week. I mean, because they've got a tournament that they're running too. And if I had to guess, they're going to probably pick the latter and say, look, this is a serious issue. We're investigating, and we'll comment at a later time.
I don't know offhand. I probably should. Maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut and pretended I knew the answer to this instead of saying it out loud. But I don't know offhand if this officer is able to pursue a personal injury type of claim against Scheffler. This occurred while he was at work in the line of duty and all those things. But I know in any other circumstance, he would still be able to. I mean, if he was working for the PGA and he was just security, he would not be able, you know, his claim against the PGA would probably be a workers' comp type of claim, but he could still pursue liability, personal injury liability type of lawsuit against Scotty Scheffler for injuring him the way he did. And maybe that's something going on in the background too, where Scotty Scheffler and perhaps the PGA have to be kind of cognizant of that as well, because, you know,
well,
they got deep pockets.
It says he's Louisville Metro Department of Corrections is who he works for, which is almost like, that sounds like the jail. And so it makes you wonder if he's either a police officer or was he hired privately, like you're saying, to work for the PGA just for this event. I mean, I think that will be an issue. We got to decide who he was actually working for. Because I know when the PGA or any group like that, professional group that has events in different cities throughout the year, they will coordinate with local law enforcement on how things are going to go. So that doesn't necessarily make the officer an employee or an independent contractor of the PGA. But it's an interesting question to see how that comes out.
I do know that if he's able to file a lawsuit against the PGA or Scottie Scheffler, he has been contacted by a minimum of two personal injury attorneys today while he was.
I would say that's a good over-under, two attorneys. I'll probably take the over.
All right. Well, that's all I have on it. You got anything else, Kevin?
No, I think that's it. But I really think we're going to see this. We're going to learn a lot more next week.
I think so,
over
too.
The weekend, the news cycle probably won't go into it in much depth. But next week, prosecutors will probably be saying something about it. We'll see what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, I really expect Louisville and the prosecutors to either like double down on this and be trying to put out body cam or something and saying, look how Scotty was in the wrong here, or walking it back very fast and trying to get this resolved as quickly as they can. But I guess there is the option of them just staying quiet and seeing if it dies out and then working out some plea 3 months down the road. But the thing we didn't talk about is that once you get past these initial stages with the arraignment and everything, criminal trials do often move slowly. Usually there's a pretrial date a few months out, and a lot of times nothing really happens at that pretrial, and you end up having another one, and then maybe within a year you're at a criminal trial getting it resolved. But a lot of time tends to pass where people exchange exchange information, you get everything from the prosecutor's office, you try to work out plea deals. That all takes a lot of time and it moves pretty slowly. And for something like this, you know, we may find ourselves 6 months down the road almost forgetting about what happened and hearing, oh, Scotty pled guilty to misdemeanor criminal mischief and paid a $500 fine today, and it's all gone.
Well, and we've got to say, though, too, we don't know all the facts yet. We don't know how far this officer was dragged, if he was at all. We don't know how fast Scheffler was driving. I mean, we might see a video of this and say, oh, my God, what was he doing? Or we might look at it and say, okay, this is ridiculous. We just don't have all those facts yet. But I have a feeling we're going to get a lot more info in the next few days.
Yeah. Well, we're right at the time we should be stopping this, but I'm not going to do it because you've been avoiding Coffee with Counsel for a while, and honestly, we've not recorded as much as we wanted to, and it took a while for me to catch up and give my opinion on it. But we're here. We do it whether people want to hear it or not. Talk about Razorback sports. I've got to hear you give me a couple minutes on Calipari.
Well, I'm super excited about it. I mean, I think you have to be. That was a major coup that I don't think anyone saw coming. And I guess there's like a little documentary out now about the sports writers that I want to see and how that all went down over that 48 to 72 hour time frame. But this goes beyond getting him. This put Arkansas, at least Arkansas basketball, on the map. And I said it the day it happened, I said, Arkansas has just set the bar for what other college basketball teams, all of them, all the top programs are going to have to do now with NIL and how that's going to work. And Kentucky kind of fell right in. You saw someone come out, I can't remember who it was a big booster or someone of Kentucky basketball came out and started talking about how much money they're putting in their NIL. That's huge. You know, Arkansas basketball has always been known as a great program and one of the top 15, 20 programs, I think, for a coach to come to. This really skyrocketed them up maybe into the top five. Getting a coach of that caliber was just incredible. And I'm excited for it, and I can't wait to see what we do with it over the next few years.
I agree, begrudgingly. And I will say for anybody who's I broke the news to Kevin, and he did not believe it. I am the one who first let him know about it, and he thought I was joking or was wrong. He questioned my source because the first guy that tweeted about it that I sent to him had, I think, I don't remember, it was like 10,000 followers or something. It was a low amount. And you were like, this is just not valid. And then we got the ESPN bump, which had several million, and you accepted it at that point. But shocking disbelief was your initial reaction.
I think so, but I don't think I'm alone in that either. I think a lot of people could not believe that was actually happening. You know, it's a big step for Calipari to do that. I mean, it would have been back in the day, like one of the big coaches from Texas football coming over to Arkansas or vice versa. I mean, Arkansas and Kentucky are rivals in basketball. You know, I know Kentucky may have a huge rivalry with Louisville and that kind of thing, but that is a big deal. And he knew when he took this job, he was going to have to step back into Rupp Arena every year. At least once and maybe twice, you know, that's a big deal for him to say, you know, I want to go to this program and do what I can. And I told you when I was watching his press conference, I was wondering how much energy he was going to have for this job when he came over. And I was really impressed by the things he said. And he basically said, I don't want to be out of this game yet. I'm still got that competitive fire and I want to compete for championships and I want to do it here. And I don't think it was just lip service. He seemed to be very genuine about it. So I'm excited about it.
Like I have always said, always, Cal says that you can take it to the bank. Man of his word.
Yeah. Yeah. You've always said that about Calipari.
Oh, all right, everybody. Thanks for listening and have a good day.
See you guys later.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.